ladies and gentlemen. This here is Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. I'm your host, as always. Okay. I, Amelia Dalton, have some sad news to report. I will be retiring from EE Journal. I know, most of you didn't see this coming. You see, I spent the last week at DesignCon, and well, it changed my life. Yep, I'm closing up shop here, moving out to the country. Me and Chiphead, we're getting married. We're going to raise a whole fleet of little chipheads, set up a communal fab using only free-range wafers, of course, and change the world. One I see at a time. Wait, just a sec. It what? Really? Well, apparently on page 6, paragraph 2, line 14 in my EE Journal employment contract, it says, said employee cannot at any time marry the mascot of a competitor. Well, then, Chiphead, it will only remain in our dreams. Hey, before we get into this week's design fabulousness, I have a GERT board to give away this week, courtesy of Newark Element 14. If you want to win one of these super awesome Raspberry Pi expansion boards, head on over to element14.com/fishfry to enter to win. Or you can click that link on this week's Fish Fry page entitled Design Con and Beyond. First up in today's interview doubleheader, Charlie Chang, CEO of Kilopass. Let's join Charlie as we talk about, what else? Non-volatile memory. Check it out.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Charlie.
Thank you very much.
So first off, for my audience who doesn't know, and I'm not sure who that would be, what does Kilopass do?
So Kilopass develops non-volatile memory as an IP, and we license to semiconductor companies worldwide so they can embed in the non-volatile memory inside their silicon.
So, Charlie, let's talk more about the non-volatile landscape. Going forward into 2014, where do you think this is headed?
2014 is interesting to more than just non-volatile memory companies. I think for the very first time, the smartphone growth is going to peak, and gross margin is going to contract. And so I don't think the shining star and the limelight is going to be in smartphone. It's probably going to be in the Internet of Things, because deployments to smart meters, to home appliance, and to medical devices are just starting to really take off. And I think that's where non-volatile memory probably has an interesting play there. Most of the Internet of Things are going to be very, very cost sensitive. So it's pretty difficult to have an Internet of Things chip, if you can call that, and have an external, let's say, a NAND flash or a serial flash, and you glue onto it. The cost would be too much. And from a tire pressure sensor to the sticker on the back of the backpack so that my son won't forget his backpack, I think that's where we're going to have a pretty interesting market this year.
So that adds to my second question, where is Kilopass headed for 2014?
We have been planning, not necessarily for this thing called the Internet of Things, but for continued integration in the semiconductor industry. So we have been building this very, very high density, non-volatile memory IP that we're just beginning in the deployment side of it. And for the industry and also for Kilopass, when we come up with a new intellectual property, it usually takes about 2 years for us to, quote-unquote, enable the technology in the foundries and then for the customers to use it. So this will be the year that we complete the enablement and for the licensees to start integrating into the chip. So it will be a pretty interesting growth year for us.
That's exciting. So a little bird told me that perhaps you like to cook. Now, if you had to cook one thing, you know, this is like a last meal kind of thing, what would be the last meal you would cook? Just make your whole life complete.
Okay. So I like to eat. I'm not sure I can cook just one thing if that's my last meal, but I would probably do breakfast. I get up early every morning to make breakfast with my family because I don't get home early enough to make dinner. It turns out, actually, it's very difficult to make a perfect scrambled egg. So if I have to make one meal. Hopefully not my last meal, but one that I have time to make a perfect scrambled egg. I like to take about half an hour to make one scrambled egg, which apparently is what it takes for a French chef to make a perfect scrambled egg.
Well, I think that's all I have time for. Thank you so much for joining me today, Charlie. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you very much.
Next up, let's head on over to the land of desktop PCB design software. My guest is Mark Toth, CADsoft's Business Development Manager, and we're getting into some serious PCB business. Hi, Mark. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Hi, Amelia. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So for my audience who may not know the name CADsoft, what do you guys do?
CADsoft, we're in the business of improving engineering productivity. I sort of say that tongue-in-cheek. We're really a software company. So we make software for printed circuit board or PCB design, and our product is Eagle. We're actually German-based and in the midst of celebrating our 25th year right now.
So, Mark, tell me a bit more about your Eagle PCB design software. It includes a schematic editor, a layout editor, and an auto router. Is that correct?
That's correct, Amelia. Eagle is actually an acronym. It stands for Easily Applicable Graphical Layout Editor, and it was designed in Germany, as I said, about 25 years ago, targeted mainly at the hobbyist segment to provide a low-cost or free tool so hobbyists could design their own printed circuit boards. As you mentioned, it can be combined in three modules, the schematic editor, the layout editor, and an auto router, either combined together or purchased separately. The neat thing about Eagle is they share a common user interface, which makes it much more intuitive. CADsoft sells Eagle as a perpetual license model with maintenance and support included, which is pretty unique. And another unique thing about Eagle is it's fully supported on all the major compute platforms, Linux, Mac, and Windows, so one of the very few commercial design tools available for Mac. It also supports a scripting tool or a scripting language, enabling users to create their own applets, if you will, or C-like interfaces into other programs. So it's a ULP, it's called User Language Programming, and it allows the users to really customize their environment and customize their design flow to integrate third-party tools such as simulation to integrate with other applications, because the XML database structure of Eagle allows for data export and import much, much easier.
You guys recently did a PCB survey. Tell me what cool stuff you found out, and what do you think the results mean for PCB design engineers in particular?
Well, I think in general it's important. I mean, first of all, it's a funny way to celebrate your 25th birthday is to go out and survey your user base or conduct a survey, but we really wanted to hear more and use this as an opportunity to learn more about the requirements of our users and potential users. We considered a fairly good sampling. We actually heard from engineers around the globe from 42 different countries, the majority of which they averaged with, you know, a fair amount of experience, somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 years of experience, and many of them were doing in excess of 10 designs per year. What probably isn't surprising is that the majority of them still put functionality over cost. I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 60% rated functionality as it pertains to selecting a new design tool. Functionality was extremely important, so that's probably not that surprising. What we found surprising was that peer-to-peer communities are becoming very, very important as it relates to PCB design. 83% of our respondents suggested that peer-to-peer communities were important. 25% said they were essential. But for us, it was nice because half of them, about 45%, indicated that Element 14, which is an engineer's community that we created 3-4 years ago, was their preferred community of choice in terms of interacting with peers and gaining designer insights. Further into the survey, there were quite a few that were suggesting that because of the importance, I guess, or the fact that development, off-the-shelf development boards, development kits, and open-source platforms were becoming so popular that they might be affecting one way or another the future of PCB design. In other words, if I can use off-the-shelf platform, will I necessarily have to design my own PCB? Again, fortunately for us, a lot of those open-source platforms are being designed in Eagle today anyway. And further, many of them where you have to create an interface board or a daughter card or some kind of shield for an Arduino, for example, or a BeagleBone. A lot of the designers are using Eagle to create those interface cards.
Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me today, Mark. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you, Amelia. I enjoyed it.
All right, let's talk about this week's nerdy giveaway, courtesy of Newark Element 14, the GERT board. This GERT board is a flexible experimenter board that plugs directly into your Raspberry Pi and allows you to detect and output analog voltages, drive powerful motors, detect switch presses, illuminate LEDs and drive relays, and is all controlled by your Raspberry Pi. The GERT board plugs directly onto the Raspberry Pi GPIO socket, contains a motor controller capable of controlling a motor bidirectionally, and also includes an Atmel ATmega 328 MCU for running off-board programs that are written, compiled, and uploaded to the GERT board from Raspberry Pi. If you want any further information about this super cool board, check out the link on this week's Fish Frying page. And again, you can win a GERT board of your very own by heading on over to element14.com/fishfry. And now it's time for my EE Journal social media message. If you haven't gotten around to liking us on Facebook, come on, do it, if just for me. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. You can also check out our tweets on EEJournal TFM and join our circle on Google+. We also now have a YouTube channel that is chocked full of all kinds of techie awesomeness, including that Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. I know. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can also grab our Fish Frying RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, including a photo of yours truly with Chiphead this year, at DesignCon, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of January 31st, 2014, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.